and we get to hear about George's summer vacation.
Yeah, and I had a lot of downtime, but I feel like I really got to go fast here because I have a lot to get in. I may not get all of this in. There's a lot of things to tell you about. One of the things that was certainly a part of the vacation, especially the first part of it, and it's, whatever, 5 weeks later now from when this happened, but right before we went on a vacation, told you a story about we had to put our 11-year-old lab down, and I'm still having a hard time with it, obviously. But I did want to start this off with a couple of stories that are very uplifting about that. And I was so touched by all of the emails and messages on X that I've received over the last month. And I got them over vacation. And it made me feel so good. And I just wanted to do a real quick shout out to a lot of dogs and their owners. First, to the ones who sent pictures of their dogs who are still with us and vibrant and everything. To Taco, Bonnie and Clyde, Sandy, Lola, Willie Nelson, Brady, Shadow, Riley, Macklin, Blaze, a silver lab, Grady, another silver. Megan sent a picture of her Pyrenees mix with a really sweet message. Winston Churchill, who is apparently the number one ranked Cocker Spaniel in Denton County.
Oh, wow.
Ghost, a silver lab. Goose, Hazel, Bullet, a silver lab who apparently goes to an office every day. He's got a job.
Oh, wow.
He goes to an office every day. Bo, Silver, Peter. Those are the dogs that sent their best wishes along with their owners. And then it was amazing how people sent pictures of their dogs that recently passed or have been gone for 8 years. Isabel, Brady, Alfie, Lucy, Ace, Walter, Tom the Cat, Boz, Lacey, Ralph, who has had his picture in a kiddie pool, just like Gunner used to splash in. Cornbread, Moose, BK, Poppy, Duchess, Dola, Woody. Amazing. Just dogs, our cats, our pets mean so much to us. And I just wanted to give a shout out to all those P1s and their dogs.
That's great.
Who sent just these heartfelt messages. And it really did make me feel better. And the quick story, this song playing right now is 49 Winchester, really good band. It's called Bringing Home the Bacon. I was at a hardware store during vacation. Really exciting, looking for a new weed eater. And I was on an aisle, and this woman was walking through, and she had a chocolate lab. And I looked down, and I said, oh, wow, how old's your lab? She said, 12 and a half. And I said, oh, he's a really good boy, you know, and petted him and everything. And, you know, I don't know why I told her, but I said, yeah, I love labs. I said, unfortunately, I just had to put my lab down. And she said, oh, I'm so sorry. She was really sweet. And she said, yeah, I take him everywhere. And I said goodbye to him. And a few minutes later, they passed me on another aisle. And, you know, she smiled and walked by. And the dog, chocolate lab named Bacon, stopped and came back over to me, and I petted him, and then he leaned into me. Like, if you have labs, or maybe other dogs do this, you know what I'm talking about. It's almost like they give you a dog hug. And she said, huh, he's never really done that to, he doesn't do that to a lot of people. And he just leaned into me. Coincidence, I'm sure. But Gunner used to do the same thing late in his life. And this dog was 12 and a half. And it was just the sweetest moment. It really was. So shout out to Bacon. It was really nice to meet you. And I appreciate the hug. Also to the fake Natalie Maines, who wrote me a really nice letter. He has a lab and understands about all this. Casey Donahue, noted singer-songwriter here in Texas, sent me a picture from, I don't know, 8-9 years ago when we went dove hunting out at his place. And he said, is this Gunner? and he sent a picture of Gunner in front of his friends and a bunch of kids and Dove that they had shot that day, and Gunner retrieved him. And the story behind that is he went down to that side of the field because my son and I couldn't hit a dove to save our lives. Gunner went where the action was and retrieved doves for Gunner, or for Casey Donahue and his friends that day. So I appreciated that picture. Okay, so I also started getting a lot of messages when I went up to Montana, and people were saying, hey, wow, I saw you in this music video with, or I heard you in this music video with the Turnpike Troubadours. And they're a band that's been on the scene for a while. They are mainstream now. They're everywhere. They are huge. Corby is a big Turnpike fan. They're awesome. Evan Felker, their lead guy, is a terrific writer. And they just put out a video about a month ago, and it's an R.E.K. song, Robert Earl Keen, Feeling Good Again. And it's an old R.E.K. song, and they covered it. They did a great job with it. But this is how the video starts. It shows Robert Earl Keen at his property in Central Texas, and he's walking into a room, and he's sitting down, and they cut to a radio, and before you see, it's Christian McCaffrey in another scene. He's they do a quick cut to him. Turns out Christian McCaffrey is a big Turnpike fan. But when they show the radio, you may hear a familiar voice before they crank up the song.
The latest on the Christian McCaffrey update is coming up next. Rehab is going well, but it may take a while to get over this one.
So, yeah.
That sounded so familiar.
So familiar.
That voice.
My friend Cameron produced this video, and that's how it starts. And he contacted me right as we went on vacation, and he said, hey, could I get you to read a story about Christian McCaffrey? I'm putting together this video that Turnpike's doing. And so I did, and didn't think a thing about it. I thought they had just started it, and next thing I know, a week later, this... hits social media, and it's up on YouTube. It's an awesome video. It's an awesome song. And there's a lot of stories that play out in the video. There's a rodeo cowboy. There's a painter. There's a cyclist. And people have asked me, who are these people? So I contacted Cameron, and this is who they are. The cyclist is Robert Earl Keen's nephew. He lived in New York. He was working in the film industry. And one day on his way to work, he got hit by a truck while cycling. That's why part of his leg is amputated. It shows him learning to ride a bike again.
Wow.
The rodeo cowboy is Cameron's dad. He came out of retirement 16 years after his last ride. It shows him getting back, and I think it's a bull he gets on. I can't remember if it's that or a horse. And since then, he's rode four more times, but he's made a comeback at the age of 56. The painter is Cameron's aunt, who lives in San Antonio, and she's an artist. And the girl who leaves the supermarket to go fishing is someone that he ran into fly fishing, and that's her story. It's awesome, and it's really cool that Cameron put me at the beginning of it, because this video is, I don't know how many plays it has now, but it's going to get into the millions, because they are huge.
That's awesome.
And at the end of it, in the credits, I was looking to see who these other people were, and here we go again with another shout out to a dog. Has all the list of people who are in the video, list the Turnpike Troubadours. And it said, special thanks to Gunner Dunham. So he makes a Turnpike video and a U.S. Open update.
Wow.
With our friend Ted Emmerich. So that's that. So while in Montana, it was interesting that a couple of months ago, I was at a Senior Source event, and I ran into our friend Mike Rawlings. And he asked what I was doing this summer. And I said, well, after Jub Jam, taking a big trip, going to Montana, never been there before. And he goes, wow, where are you going? I said, Whitefish. And he goes, that's my place. I said, what do you mean that's your place? He said, I have a place in Whitefish, Montana. He said, holler at me when you're up there.
How cool.
So we talked about playing golf. We went up there with friends. We didn't bring our golf club, so we were going to meet for a beer or a meal or something. And he said, I'll tell you what, why don't you bring your traveling party down to the lake, Whitefish Lake, there at the base of the mountains, and I'll take you out on my pontoon boat. So one of the days we went down, this beautiful lake, Whitefish, Montana, is absolutely gorgeous. And we spent a couple hours out on the pontoon boat with Mike Rawlings, and he gave us a tour of the lake.
Wow.
He told me to tell you guys hi.
Really? And he didn't shackle a concrete block to your ankle and say, hey, we're going just said a few things about me.
We're going out to the middle of the lake and get
former
a few things settled.
Dallas mayor.
Yeah, former Mike Dallas Rawlings. Mayor for 8 years, I do believe.
I've heard great things about Whitefish. Always wanted to go there. I hear the town is great.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I guess it gets compared to Colorado a lot. If you haven't been there, I would just say it's not as big and as developed as a lot of the Colorado towns
are. That's okay.
And that's okay. I thought that was tremendous. And as I said yesterday, maybe the best part of my vacation was just walking out every morning and having a cup of coffee on the balcony and just looking at this mountain view that it's the prettiest thing I've ever seen. And we went up to Glacier National Park, and we made the drive up almost to the top of it. I have never been up a road like that before. Narrow two-lane road, winding, and I've never seen views like that before. It was just absolutely gorgeous.
That's great.
Highly recommend Montana. Yeah, you folks in the mountains, I think you have it figured out, especially this time of year.
I've always said there's no better place in the summer than the mountains.
Yeah, yeah, you were right about that.
It's perfection.
And then I had a slight, not to be dramatic, but I had a slight brush with death over the break. And my wife and I went out to a restaurant. It was almost closing time. We got there at 8:30. They closed at 9. And they just have, you know, basically bar food. So we got pizza. And I guess we were hurrying a little bit just because by the time it arrived, it was getting close to 9 o'clock and you started feeling bad about, okay, we're there a little late. And the pizza was really hot. This is kind of a gross story, so if you're eating, I apologize. So I took a bite of the pepperoni pizza, and it had, you know, a very thick hot cheese layer on the top of it. And it's one of those deals where you're trying to not burn the top of your mouth, but because the cheese is so hot, and you're also maybe trying to minimize just how big the piece of cheese is, and maybe you've bitten off a little more than you can chew. And so I tried to, you know, cut the cheese in half.
You tried to cut the cheese.
Tried to cut the cheese. And I didn't completely do that because part of it started going down my throat. And then the rest of the cheese was attached to that, and I started choking.
God.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this is cheese, and it's like been strung out, you know? So it's like a long piece of cheese, and I didn't know how big the piece of cheese was, but I thought part of it was still caught in the top of my throat, so I stood up. My wife said, are you okay? And I was able to get out. I don't think so.
God.
Oh, no.
And there was a family. There were two families sitting together, and there were two guys. And my wife said, I think I need help. And she tried one time to give me the Heimlich, and I held up my hand saying, I think I might be okay. And I was able to so gross. I was able to reach into my throat
with your own
basically
finger,
gagging myself.
Really?
Fish like hook finger?
Fish, and then fish hooking the cheese and bringing it out, and then doing some sort of spit the rest of the cheese
like
out,
a dog.
Yeah, like a dog onto my plate. And I didn't need the Heimlich. And my last thought was before I did that, I'm going to try that because one of these dudes is pretty big, and I think he's going to break my ribs.
So the restaurant snapped into it to try to save you. Like, patrons were coming to the rescue.
Yes, yes. Two guys were ready to go.
Such a scene was happening.
But then I turned around, and then there's, like, four kids looking at me with just these stone-cold looks on their face. And I said, I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry. And they're like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. And the guys were really nice. And, hey, man, I'm glad you're okay. And
was your wife panicking?
She was starting to get kind of upset. I said, it's all right. But then you have that moment. Then we sit back down. But we both had a bite of pizza, and we just kind of went, okay, yeah, check, please. And we'll take theirs, too. We bought their dinner.
Oh, that's good.
And it's the least I could do because how gross. You're trying to eat your dinner. There's a guy up there. And I thought, man, is it going to end here? Choking on a piece of pizza? In front of a couple of families at a lake restaurant?
Pulling cheese out of your throat like an intubation tube?
Yes, pulling cheese out of my throat. But I survived.
Wow, thank God.
Yeah.
There's no cell phone video of this?
Thank God, no, because it had to look awful. The part looked like I was possessed. My face is turning red. I'm like, walk. Choking is not a laughing matter, though.
It
is. Be careful. Know how to do the Heimlich so you can save one of your friends or loved ones.
I don't think the Heimlich would have helped you so much. There,
I don't know if
it's a string of cheese.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
That's fished down your throat.
It sounded like the fish hook was the way out.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you survived that. It sounded like mostly a great vacation.
It was. Outside of the choking incident, it was a very heartwarming and much needed time off. It was great.